What a wonderful privilege it is to be here and to sing God's praises together. Isn't it just a marvelous opportunity to, you know, just thank our God for all of His goodness to us, all His marvelous glories to us. So our word this morning comes from James chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. So we're going to read those verses again just to get it into the forefront of our mind. So if you have your Bible with you, please open there. Otherwise, you can also look at the screen or just listen to the Word of God being read out. So that is James chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow before you now. Lord, we thank you that you would speak to us, that you have words for us. And Father, as your servants, we say, Lord, speak, your servants listen. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what happens to us and what happens inside of us when things don't go our way, when things seem to just go against us, when you face difficulty or frustration, we are stretched and strained. When we are tried and tested, we experience strong emotions, don't we? Very strong emotions. So here we have it. There are three things we have to look out for when we are under trial. So the first was temptation, then deception, and now we look at very strong emotion. You know, powerful feelings, they can easily get the better of us, can't they? If we're not careful, they will dominate us. They will completely overpower us. And when that happens, it is not pretty, is it? Things can get ugly when we lose control of our emotions. And what kind of emotions are we talking about? Well, James, being the practical pastor that he is, he picks out one particular emotion, and that is anger. You know, anger is that feeling of hot displeasure. It's an emotion that can very easily boil over. When you go the morning and you put on that kettle to make a nice cup of tea, if you're not careful, that water can boil over and burn or scald your hand. How are you going with anger? Perhaps when you think about it, and you think about the week that you've had, you think, perhaps not that well. Now, some of us come with different temperaments. Some of us don't have the easiest personality, let's be honest. We have a bit of a short fuse. Or perhaps the bumps and the bruises of life have taken its toll on you. Over time, without you even noticing, you've become grumpy. You've become bitter. And there's this vibe around you and about you. It's like flammable gas. And everybody has to tread very carefully. Because if they don't, that might just set you off. You have an anger issue. But not all of us are like that. Some of us are sort of more, let's say, the laid-back personality. Those easy, happy-go-lucky kind of people. You know, they don't really get excited. And they don't get upset. There's really nothing that fazes them. I mean, even those flies, you know, on hot and dry summer days, and they go straight for your eyes and your nose and your mouth. Not even those really bother you too much. But even you have your moments when you get really angry. You know, I remember at high school, our maths teacher, he was brilliant. And he was this cute kind of a guy. He's very, very cute and cuddly like a teddy bear. He even looked like a teddy bear. Except on one particular day, the teddy bear, the friendly teddy bear, turned into a very angry and a scary grizzly bear. There was one of the kids in class, and you know what kids can do. They can press the buttons all the time. And the teacher just had absolutely enough. And he plowed right through all of the desks, straight to this little rascal, and grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and gave him a good shake-up. And I can tell you from then on, no one dared to mess with this teddy bear. Now, granted, there is such a thing as righteous and holy anger. And I know what you're thinking. You might be thinking, you know what? Actually, the anger that I mostly experience is of this type, the righteous and the holy anger type. Now, before you just put all of your anger in that class, just be reminded of this. Whenever the Bible speaks about holy anger or wrath, it's mostly pointing to God's anger and God's wrath, which is completely controlled anger. And when the scriptures talk about anger about us, it almost every time tells us that we should be controlling our anger. So regardless of where you fall on the spectrum of personalities and how easy or hard your life is, or whether you walk around with a grumpy and a very angry face or not, whether you have a particular anger issue or not, we all have to learn to control our anger. All of us. If we don't manage our anger, we are like these big trucks without brakes. Now, I don't know whether you've seen the damage that those trucks can do. A runaway truck. Vehicles get smashed. Property gets destroyed. Lives are lost because of runaway trucks. Similarly, if we don't control these emotions like anger, we can be very destructive. Proverbs warns us, listen to this, Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirs up strife. A hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25, do not associate with a man given to anger or a hot-tempered person. Or you will learn his ways and share or fall in the snare yourself. And so the question we have this morning that comes to us is, how could we and why should we manage our anger? And all sorts of other very strong emotions for that matter. Look again with me at James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. James starts and he wants us to understand something. He wants us to be very clear and know that very often anger is not just something that happens all by itself. But anger is very often related to how we listen and how we speak. And that is why James gives us a threefold command. He says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Now, what does it mean to be quick to hear? Is it like, listen fast? It's not that. It is to be ready and eager to listen. And to do that before we speak. Listen again to Proverbs 18, verse 13. This is a proverb that everybody should really memorize. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Proverbs 29, 20. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Kids, let me ask you a question. When you write a test or you do an exam, do you just go straight and answer the question? I mean, you don't even worry about what is the question or understanding what the question is. You just, I want to just write this down, and you go for it. Do you know what's going to happen when you do that? You're going to get one of those big red F's with a circle around them. Now, one of the most important skills in life that we all should learn is to be good listeners. You may have heard this. We have 2 ears and 1 mouth. Why did God not give us 2 mouths with 1 ear? So God obviously wants us to listen at least twice as much as we speak. Listen at least twice before you speak once. It takes a lot of training, doesn't it? To listen well and to listen with understanding. And sometimes this includes asking someone to explain themselves or to repeat themselves or to clarify themselves. Married couples know all about this, don't they? And it's an ongoing discipline. It's amazing how easily we can mess this up. Every conversation, every situation that we are in, we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. And it means we have to really think about what we say before we say it. It means that when we actually speak, you speak with a handbrake on. You speak in a controlled way. You don't speak like a runaway horse, a wild horse that's just running and jumping and kicking and biting. Try to get onto it, that's such a horse, and control a horse like that. Rather, you want to be in a horse that is bridled, that is tamed. That is the horse that can go where it should go. And James will talk more about this, and we'll look at it again in James chapter 1, verse 26, and also chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. But let me ask you, do you have a bridled tongue, or do you have a loose tongue? Do you listen and pay careful attention before you speak? Husbands, do you actually understand what your wife is saying to you before you respond? Wives, do you just blurt out whatever you feel like saying with no thought about how it will impact your husband? Now, if we're not quick to hear and slow to speak, then we will almost certainly struggle with the third instruction, and that is, be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. A person who controls their anger is like a calm person. It's a person who doesn't get in unnecessary fights and quarrels. You know, sometimes we think that the person who speaks the loudest and has the meanest voice and says the most is the most effective. But that is not true. Listen to Proverbs 25:15. For by long forbearance, a ruler is persuaded, a gentle tongue can break a bone. In your own experience, is it not the person who has the ability to listen carefully, say very little, and say it in a gentle way that impacts us most? You know, calm and controlled speech is far more persuasive and effective. Think about our Lord Jesus Christ. He did not go around yelling and screaming at people. Listen to what God the Father says about him. Then Matthew 12, verse 18 to 21. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim the justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry out aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. It must have been an amazing experience to just watch Jesus interact with people. Just see how he talks. I would imagine that very often we would have to go closer to him to hear what he said. But when he would speak to us, we would go away from there and say, he speaks so gently, but he speaks so powerfully. Is it not so that a lot of our anger issues stem from the fact that we are actually very poor listeners? And we are in the habit of speaking too quickly. Now, did you know that God actually takes this very seriously? Very seriously indeed. Acting in anger and speaking rashly is not good. Do you know why Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land? Do you know? He was the humblest man on earth. He had to put up with a whole lot. But it was because he spoke rashly and he got angry when he spoke to the people of Israel that God said, you will not enter the promised land. He begged God for that. And God said, no, you will not. And he would only see the promised land from a distance. But he died outside of the promised land. There are consequences for angry and hasty speech. James chapter 1 therefore says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Why? Look again at verse 20. For the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. This chain action of not listening carefully, of speaking rashly, and of just venting our displeasure with people wherever we go, does not produce the righteousness of God. What does it mean to produce the righteousness of God? It means that we are to do the right thing by God. It means that we are to do what God requires. We can put it like this. It means to carry out God's righteous standards. Beloved brother and sister in Christ, do you realize that God wants you and I to live according to His standards and not according to the standards of the world? He wants us to reflect the values of God's kingdom and not the values of the kingdom of the world. In all of our speech, in all of our actions, in all of our attitudes, in all of our character. When people look at you and I, if they look at Horizon Church, are we a church that works out the righteousness of God? So before we vent our difficulty, our very strong emotions, whichever they might be, we have to ask ourselves this question. Before I let the valve open and let it get out, we have to ask ourselves this question. Will I now work out the righteousness of God or not? And as soon as we realize that we're not going to do that, we have some heart business to do. How do we do that? Look at verse 21. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Can you see in that verse, we ought to do two things. There's something we need to put off, so that effectively we can receive something else. So what is the thing that we have to put off? All filthiness, and I think the idea here is, and remainders or any traces of wickedness. And the idea is of putting it aside, of putting it away like we will do dirty clothes. We are to take off anything that morally defiles us. And we have to do it like we do our dirty clothes every single day. Now, what kind of morally filthy things are we talking about? Think about envy. It's this very deep resentful feeling and unhappiness towards someone else because of what they are doing or how they have related to us. What about malice? Malice is when we have this this desire for something really bad to happen to somebody. Hatred. A feeling of intense dislike towards people. We'd much rather get rid of those people. We'd really not mind if they were dead. Now imagine with me these things, envy, malice, hatred, and other kinds of vices. Imagine them being like rotten, disgusting clothing. Now we can't wear that kind of clothing without getting really contaminated, even getting infected with kinds of diseases. Kids, I want to ask you, just by a show of hands, who of you would like to wear a nappy full of poo? Or a shirt full of vomit? Now, that's what you used to do when you were babies. But thankfully to your parents, as soon as they detected some substance or they smelled something, they came to the rescue and they would take those things off you. But now that you have more understanding about cleanliness and hygiene and so on, would you wear it? Not on your life. But it would be much better to wear those things than to walk around with envy, malice, and hatred in your heart. These things contaminate our souls. These things rot, make us rot from within. As soon as we realize that I'm angry, I'm hating, I am jealous, I am envious, you know what we should do? You take it off like dirty clothes and you throw it away from you. How do we practically do that? Obviously, first we have to detect it. And you know the problem with these things is we are very good at detecting that in other people. Looking at other people and think, I know of someone who needs a nappy change. But we are notoriously bad in detecting those things in our own hearts, aren't we? But when we receive the Word of God in the way that we are supposed to, when we are becoming sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, He's going to put His finger on that time and again. And that is not to condemn us. It's to tell us, listen, time for a nappy change. And once we've done it, own it. Confess it before the Lord and say, Lord, I feel sorry. I can't believe that I have hatred in my heart. Confess it and turn away from it and the Lord will cleanse you. He will cleanse you straight away. So in order to work out God's righteousness, we have to get rid of all this filthiness and traces of wickedness in our hearts. The second thing is this. Receive the implanted word with meekness. Now, to receive the Word of God with meekness is to receive it humbly, reverently, submissively. You know, it's to, when we open up our Bibles, when we read the Word of God, is to open up our arms and to receive it without any reservation. Can you see, dear friends, that the attitude with which we come to the Word of God is very, very important. If we are arrogant, we are full of ourselves, we come with a critical spirit, when the Bible is opened, we waste our time. We really do waste our time. And that is why it's so important to search our hearts as the Lord's people, to be in a habit of confessing our sins, to be someone who comes to God humbly like a child. You know, when the children come forward to the kids' talk, where do they sit? They don't come and stand on the pulpit and watch Tim down there. They sit on the floor and they listen to the Word of God. You know, before God gave the Ten Commandments, do you know what happened? All of Israel had to wash their clothes and they had to consecrate themselves. That is what happened. They had to purify themselves and get their hearts ready to receive God's instructions. Do you prepare yourself before you listen to God's word? Do you humble yourself and pray and see God's face when you read and listen to His word? I want to remind you that it's not just words on paper, but it's God speaking to you and to me. And you know, one of the wonderful things we do on Sunday mornings at 8:40 in the mornings is we get together here and we pray together. And you know, when you pray like that, we're together with God's people, it prepares our hearts to receive His word. Isaiah 66 verse 2 says, "But on this one I will look," God says, "with favor, to him who has a humble and contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." Who trembles at my word. So to work out God's righteousness, let's get rid of all of the wickedness in our hearts and let us just embrace the word of God with everything that we have. But did you notice that it says there, "And receive with meekness the implanted word"? What is the implanted word? That is God's word that He implants into the heart and writes on the mind of every single believer. Every single believer. Listen to Jeremiah 31 verse 33. "But this is the new covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will write my law within them, and on their hearts I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God has promised to gift all of His children and to inscribe within their inner beings His law. This is not so that you could be condemned. It is so that we could know, understand, love, and live out what God is telling us to do. This is the wonder of the gospel. This is the promise of the new covenant. And that is why James says, receive it meekly. Receive it meekly. Listen to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 16. "He who keeps the commandments keeps his soul. But he who is careless in his conduct will die." It's time to just step back and just draw a couple of applications. Our passage starts with the idea of be quick to listen, and it ends with the idea, with meekness receive the implanted word. Reason with me just for a moment. We've made the point that if we don't listen well, then we will probably get angry more easily. So if you often lose your temper with your children or your spouse or someone at work or whoever it is, then ask yourself, how well are you actually listening? Don't you find it interesting that often we get grumpy and unhappy simply because we don't listen? It's actually quite embarrassing, because that suggests that if we are better listeners, we will get angry less. And sometimes we get angry and we have no good reason to be angry. And that is why James says, "My beloved, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." But there's another very important application here in the text. Again, reason with me. Do you think there's a relationship between our ability to listen in everyday conversation and to listen to God's word? If we don't care what our spouse says, what our parents say, what our friends and our teachers and other people say, if we don't really listen to them, but we're only interested in our own opinions, Do you think that you'll be able to listen well to the Word of God? When it is read out, when it's taught, when it's preached. Children, I want to ask you, when mom or dad tries to teach you something or to correct you, when they do that and you only sort of half listen, rolling the eyes, shaking the head, and saying in your heart, yeah, right, you don't actually understand. Then why don't you explain to your parent? Why don't you tell them how you feel? You know what? It's such an important skill. Your parents want to hear what goes on in the inside. Talk to them. They can't read your mind, but you will be surprised they understand more than what you think. And they love you far, far more than you can ever imagine. Anyway, if you can't listen to your parents and learn that skill when you are young, you will struggle to listen to God. Lastly, dear friends, when we learn to listen well to other people, especially our parents and our superiors, then we will have excellent skills to start to listen to the Word of God. And when we practice listening to God's word, we will be good listeners indeed. Let me ask you, whenever you are offended, whenever you are hurt by someone, perhaps a fellow believer, perhaps that person sits in this very same building right now. When that happens, and the idea comes up, don't be angry, but show mercy. Don't vent your frustration, but speak the truth in love. Don't repay evil for evil, but do good and what is right. Where do these thoughts come from? It is the voice of the Lord speaking to you. You are hearing the voice of the shepherd, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, we read, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." When you hear the voice of your shepherd, what do? You follow. When we are in the habit of listening and obeying to our shepherd, we are safe in his hands, and we can be assured that we have salvation, and we will receive the power to manage those negative emotions, and by God's grace, will work out his righteousness for his glory and for our good. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. And Father, we do pray that we will be the kind of people who are with meekness, total humility, submission, and willingness to obey, receive your word, which you implant within us to be our guide. We pray that we would be those people who listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us rise and sing together our closing song, and that is, "There Is a Higher Throne."